the archway so that far? I mean, by the time you put your shoes over there and you walk to the hall, your socks are wet.
That's after Rebecca mopped it, too.
Yeah, I put the dry mop and towel. I have an idea.
Well, don't we usually put a rug across there in the winter when it rains? Remember when it rained 3 or 4 years ago?
Across
the open expanse. Is that ringing a bell for anybody but me? No. Okay. All right, good. Okay. All right. Now, this is not going to be perhaps the most exciting topic for everybody here, and so we'll go through it quickly, but can we just talk about how much fun we've had?
We have a large marge and a mini marge tanks up.
And I was struck by how they just blend in. Mm-hmm. You know, there was a time years ago we talked about this. We said, well, it'll be sort of ugly and it'll be cosmetically unattractive. You can't even see that.
No.
And the other thing I was
saying. And the less rain there is, the more attractive they become.
Yes.
Yeah.
In all ways.
Yes.
I was thinking, you know, the gutters are going up. Are they up or are they going up?
They're going up.
Okay. And I was thinking, you know, when the first drop of water from the first gutter goes into the first tank, it's going to be like, you know, in the stores where they put the first dollar bill.
Right.
It's going to be like, we're in business.
We're in business, yes. Although, Large Marge already is receiving donations.
Is she?
Yeah, out of the...
From the trash cans?
Yeah, out of the trash cans. So...
50 cent piece.
That's right. Yeah. Yeah, it was so fun. I was writing it up for the newsletter this afternoon and just recalling what it looked like at every point along that way. Rebecca.
Oh, I was just going to say, given like the way they look and everything, I don't know. I think they're the most beautiful things. You know, it's like there's something about having just put all of that work and effort and togetherness and all of that. I just have this fondness for them that I would have never imagined.
Yeah, yeah. And I hope that we can take over the whole wall of the newsletter with the pictures, because you just got to see it from the first coming down the road behind the truck and then the up the hill and
I thought there was a UFO in the parking lot.
Well, there used to be four. Now we're down to two because we put one giant UFO down there and another smaller one out behind the back porch. So
I've just been struck with, just as we're talking about in the morning show, how none of this would have happened without the drought.
Yeah.
You know, just what's come out of it is is amazing. Mm-hmm. And that, you know, now we have this water catchment system and it doesn't matter if the drought ends, we'd never not do this.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly so. So all that does is make the rest of the water available for other folks.
Yeah.
Because, you know, we don't want the pot growers to run out of water. God forbid.
And it's just the best fun in the whole world to do big things together. You know, just there's just nothing like it. Mm-hmm. Just nothing like it. So... Thank you.
I think of more big things to do. All right, so what else?
Well, with that work project, one of my favorite parts of that was practicing being present, having the guide model that for us. And there was a question at one point from the guide around, do we know the difference between enthusiasm and having better ideas? And later my answer was,
not actually,
no. Well, that's a good place to go from. I might have some clues, but it's just better to say, actually, I don't, because then I can be open to... And I just wanted to look at that, because that probably goes on for me a lot, actually. And So what I was seeing about it was that there's a lot of enthusiasm for being together in Sangha and practicing, all working together towards this, you know, metaphorically, mm-hmm. like this greater mm-hmm. good that yeah. we're, you know? And that being in the body and being physical and like clearly everyone, we belong, you know? We're mm-hmm. in the Divinity Club, it's so clear. and then that movement at, it seems like the better idea is kind of like how ego works, which is it just something added to life.
Uh-huh.
So, you know, there's...
So you're going along in that place of feeling like you're really with life.
Mm-hmm.
And then here comes the addition.
Yeah. 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 And, my image was like, if you could see us out there not in form, like, the image was kind of like how night goggles show people just in heat, you know? Like, mm-hmm. you just see the atoms and that everything's just moving and flowing. And then there's this thing that's got to be a me. You know, everything's just moving, and then all of a sudden something puts itself into a form to say, I'm here.
Mm-hmm.
And it's tricky for me sometimes because I have this karma around wanting to help. You know, I'm just so excited. I love being part of things, and, you know, I want to help.
Mm-hmm.
And that's that. And if you're just a part of life, you are helpful. You know, there's mm-hmm. a genuine something there mm-hmm. that gets taken over.
Mm-hmm.
And the difference is it feels like I got to do something.
Uh-huh.
I got to contribute. Mm-hmm. I'm here, mm-hmm. as opposed to just being here.
Yeah. Well, and the do is kind of the magic word there, isn't it, or the big clue for us. That what I was writing about with describing the project was that process of there we all are, and we're doing what we're doing, and then we realize we don't know what we're doing.
Uh-huh.
And so we stop.
Yes.
And we could stand there and have better ideas until, you know, whatever, fogged over. But the fact of the matter is we don't know.
Right.
But if we just stand there for a minute and look at it, it begins to drop in.
Yes.
And then we all look at it and go, oh yeah, that'll work.
Uh-huh.
And away we go again.
Yes, and that's what was modeled. I mean, we had to keep stopping because we were pushing this, you know, 400-pound 12-foot by 9-foot thing of, you know, but that place of I don't know, and then pausing, and then something arrives, and then let's see.
Mm-hmm.
You know, sort of like executing the thing that dropped, this is what I project is going on, and then we don't know how it's going to go.
Exactly. And there's that moment of, and then something drops in, and then there's another,
Yeah.
Because the fact that it dropped in doesn't mean it drops in with clarity about execution, right?
Yes.
So then there's that. It's sort of like it drops in and then we need to get it. So there's the information. We'll do that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay? How do we do that exactly? Right?
And then it requires just to be here the whole time, right?
Yeah. Yeah. And then there's the next step. Then we take the next step. And one of my favorite parts was the stop. Right?
Yeah.
it's like, stop! Yeah. It, because we're getting ready to run off of the whatever it is, and everybody just stops. Right? And then we wait. Okay, what do we do now? Because we got as far as we could go with that one.
Mm-hmm.
So now what do we do? And that's what's happening in life all the time.
Yeah. Yeah.
And the better idea is the thing that takes us out of the flow, out of the moment where that's going on, and into conditioned mind. So it's twofold. Not only am I not here with this, but I'm somewhere else.
Right.
So I'm not available for the guidance that's coming now, and I'm also adding something that is totally not helpful, which is conditioned mind's idea, which often, when I started it out with... What Cameron said, standing there looking at that thing in place, going, I wouldn't have believed that this was possible. You know, which
exactly.
is where we could all get to a lot of times in life. You know, you look ahead and conditioned mind is going to go, no, that's not possible. You can't do that.
Yeah.
But just one little step, one little step, one little step, and waiting for the guidance, and then the next step, and waiting for the guidance, and the next step. As far as I can tell, we can do anything.
Hmm. Yes. Wow. And the place that I saw myself getting, so then it kind of wants to go the other way, which is like, okay, just don't get in the way, don't do anything, don't cause any problems, you know, that kind of thing. Mm-hmm. And that's just the same deal.
Yeah, that's right. It's just the other side of the ping pong match, right?
Yeah. So it's like, you know, sometimes there's these, we're sliding this, you know, giant thing on these boards, and well, somebody's got to pick up the boards, and I'm right there. So you just pick up the board, and I don't need to do anything with the board, but I can bring it forward.
That's right. And if somebody says, no, we don't need that board, you can put it down.
And then you can set it down.
Right. So yeah. it's not here, me, and it's yeah. not.
Yeah. And that's what was fun about practicing. And having it modeled and sort of like practicing it internally. Mm-hmm. You know, the difference between, okay, I got it, versus, okay, I won't do anything. Just relax.
Mm-hmm. You yeah. know? Yeah, I'm ready.
Yeah. And then it was fun. There was a place where this huge thing is coming off the hillside into where we wanted to sit in the platform. And you said, hey, everybody, this thing's coming. We need everyone to be listening and here and present. Because here's this giant thing that might fall on top of you. And, boy, that's just so true all the time, isn't it?
Yeah, yeah. And it really is. It's just that it's in those moments of potential danger. Because what we know is, if we've been paying attention at all, and we all have, those are the moments when conditioned mind is going to try to get you to be somewhere else. Mm-hmm. And then something happens, and mm-hmm. it's like, oh, look at you.
Yeah, it's your fault.
Yeah, it's your fault. Or it's somebody's fault.
It's somebody's fault.
Why didn't you tell me that thing was going to... Yeah. And so to realize we have to be really heads up here, because conditioned mind is going to try to mess you up. I mean, I know that sounds paranoid, but if you watch, that's exactly what happens.
Wow. Yeah, I mean, well, every time I've hurt myself, it's always, I'm not here.
Mm-hmm. It's kind of, you know, it's the military. Uh-huh. You know, I mean, I'm not saying it's being done with a lot of conscious awareness necessarily, but that's the idea behind it. You cannot be in a dangerous situation and let people look to conditioned mind for what to do. Because they're gonna be killed, mm-hmm. so that people have to be trained not to go there, but to stay right here and do what you're trained to do, because that's your best chance of being all right. Mm-hmm. And of course, for us, there's no do what you're trained to do beyond be here.
Yeah. Well, thanks for being down here and kind of leading that. I mean, on all kinds of levels, it was just really a gift.
That was fun. Yeah. I love it. Yeah.
What I loved about working with the tanks is that, just like you were talking about, I don't think I've ever had such a clear teaching in how life informs about the next step with that stop, pause, mm-hmm. and move. And yeah, they just look so at home here somehow.
Right. You know? They just belong, clearly.
Yeah. Yeah. It's like those spots have been waiting for them.
Yes.
And I saw it as like,
yeah, the one of the really fun places for me was after we did that monster. When we put this one in, it was like, okay, everybody, just pick it up. Put it up. It's just so, and that's so practice too, uh-huh. right? So we start out and it's like, oh, I don't know how to. But after we've been with it for a while, it's pretty easy actually.
I have a spiritual question.
Yes.
About tomato soup.
Uh-huh.
The spiritual question is that when...
You say tomato?
I do now. I do now. And I also don't want to distract anybody by saying...
Tomato. And then
because
they,
then we're all lies and
cheers. Oh, well, why is she in?
And then we'll all laugh.
Because yeah. I was going to do the old...
I know. Well, I say
tomato, but you... Tomato line.
Okay. I didn't want to get drawn off into...
What I just drew you off into. Okay, so tomato soup.
Tomato soup.
You can't even say tomato, though.
Can I?
No.
I've been...
Tomato, and we say tomato.
Tomato.
Yeah, see, it's that. Yeah.
Well, if I can say tomato faster, then maybe I'll get to working out my own voice.
You can just slur and slide it like we do. Yeah.
Tomato. When I eat tomatoes, I feel awful. And I don't want to eat them. and I'm doing all sorts of things to support the body to be able to eat them again. And it doesn't seem compatible with waking up and ending suffering, not being dependent on anything and being free not to eat tomatoes. So what do I do?
Is that the question?
Yeah.
I was hoping you were going to take me a little farther down the trail, but...
I can. But you see, I'm working with a tendency to have the trail all laid out as a form of control and then never ask a question and keep laying out the trail so that I don't pause to let life in the form mm-hmm. of mm-hmm. the person sitting on the cushion actually offer something that might assist me in an authentic way. Mm-hmm. So that's why I'm pausing.
Well, it is a really big spiritual question,
yeah.
right? And a really subtle one that I don't know. I suppose in a couple of hundred years or 500 years or something, if humans are still around, people will actually be looking into this because the implications are enormous. So, what is the result for a human being of I don't like? So we know with things, you know, like muscle testing, I don't like means I get weak, mm. right? So mm. I don't like that. Now people will say, well, you muscle test and you get weak and that means you don't like it. uh-huh. But that's kind of like, well, anyway, I won't go into that. But so looking to see where... that kind of process happens. Mm-hmm. So, for instance, you know, I was a little kid, and my father liked tomato soup and cheese sandwiches. Mm-hmm. My ex-husband, but bless you. And he was mean. And if his tomato soup wasn't just right, he mm-hmm. would smack Mom and mm-hmm. you know yell at all of us. Mm-hmm. And so. I don't remember that happening, but I did. Mm-hmm. And so I really don't like tomato soup mm-hmm. or cheese sandwiches, by the way. Mm-hmm. And in fact, I get sick whenever mm-hmm. I see or smell tomato soup. Mm-hmm. Then all of that kind of thing gets in there.
Yeah.
And now it's really true.
Yeah.
In the way so many things that we could name for ourselves are true because I believe it. Mm-hmm. And I believe it because I hear it reinforced all the time.
Yes.
That's true, that's true, that's true, that's true. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, I know people are actually currently doing a lot of research on that sort of thing. So, I think we can do our own research on that sort of thing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, you mean awareness practice research? Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, that's been the approach. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Because it does seem to be that there's this... karma. So this started in some form when I was very young, like sort of 3 or 4. And there seems to be an awareness that it's there's a form of maybe something like the situation you described, like a picking up of some sort of energy, and I don't want that.
Mm-hmm. And you know, if people of Eastern persuasion have any are right. It doesn't have to be this lifetime.
Yeah.
Which it makes it really confusing for people.
Yeah.
Because I don't remember anything like that. I mean, nobody in my family ate tomato sandwiches. Soup.
Yeah.
Whatever.
Yeah. Because yeah. I talked to you in group over the summer about this thing that feels like karma that kind of flares up every now and again that's like... what's the point of keeping her alive? And the guidance you gave was to, when you hear that, ask, what's your problem? What business do you have?
What are you gonna be doing instead? About that? Yeah.
Yeah. And I did do that. And the response was, it's something that it feels so obvious. The response was, it's like, well, my family's starving. So... it's like being in the position of the person who's like kind of stealing food to keep a family alive. So do you keep yourself alive to pass it on, or do you not? And it was like one of those things that was so obvious and felt so real. And where did that, you know, come from? So that was what happened when I did that homework. Mm-hmm.
And so do you do the same kind of thing with the tomato soup?
Ask what's going on.
Yeah. Who has a problem with it? I mean, lots of people like tomato soup. But a lot of people do.
I did.
You did?
I think.
Until?
Well, it really got going just a few years ago, a big reaction.
Allergic reaction to it.
But there had been an allergic reaction from like 3 or 4, but just little, and then really got going.
Well, I don't know. At one point I ate a lot of peaches. A lot of peaches, and got hives, and what I was told at that point is it, and I had the same experience with poison oak, where when you have a huge blowout like that, it's your body throwing it off. It doesn't mean you're going to have a problem with it again unless you try the same thing, like living on peaches for an entire summer. And so the fact that you had that allergic reaction doesn't necessarily mean you would ever have that again. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's the kind of thing that... So what if you just had a spoonful of tomato soup?
Yeah.
And just see what happens. How does that... You know, and you hear the... I don't like it. It makes me sick. I don't... Really? Because, you know, the thing that's fascinating to me about it is, it, in my experience, mm-hmm. nothing is ever constant except karma.
That was one of the clues that... I just dropped back in when we were talking that I think we talked last week about karma as that feeling of, you know, there's the infinite sensations and then you hit a kind of frequency and that feels like the real radio station that's
yes.
clearest. And that something that you said was nothing real is ever fixed. And that's the clue here.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. If I always feel the same way, I always hear the same voice, I always... have the same yeah. experience, well then something is operating besides life unfolding.
Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, whether you ever eat tomato soup or not, being free of that karma
yes.
is really important because, yes. again, in my experience, once something like that takes hold, mm-hmm. then it spreads. Yeah?
Yes.
And people's lives get smaller and smaller and smaller because now I don't like this, and now I can't eat that, and now it's that, and now it's that, and now it's that, and now it's that.
Well, it's like the best way I can describe that is whatever is creating the reaction takes charge of protecting you against the reaction.
Yes,
and
which
so
is the way of maintaining the reaction.
Right.
Yeah. Which we can see across the board, right, with a lot of other things. It's
yeah.
not just something like food.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
yeah. So I don't like those people. And so that I don't like those people makes sure that I'm always really aware of those people and that I don't like them. Mm-hmm. Which is the only thing making me think I don't like them. Because if I never heard that again, would I ever have that experience again?
You might actually get to find out what your experience was.
Yes. And you can't not like those people. Not in a moment. Mm. Right? I mean, you might not like that person. But if you're really paying attention, you might actually like them the next time you see them. And if they're part of a whole group, that's really difficult to pull off. Although people do it with great success.
So we are not here to create any clear beliefs. We are here to pay attention.
Mm-hmm.
Right,
yeah.
Let me report back.
Okay, good. Yeah.
Okay, I have a commitment to put my hands up and talk. And so one of the things...
But now, let me ask you. Can you just put your hands up and talk without a commitment?
Yes.
Good. That would be the place to get to.
Okay.
Just because, this conversation,
uh-huh.
if we're here, we always have something to talk about. Now, it may not be of interest to anybody else.
Right.
That never stops me.
Yeah.
But if you're paying attention, there is always something going on.
That's big.
Yeah.
Right there.
Yeah.
That's big. Mm-hmm.
So we don't need a commitment that says, okay, well, the reason I'm talking is because I've committed to talking. The reason I'm talking is because it's like being present at the tanks.
Exactly.
It's the same process.
It is the same process. Because everything that stops me from speaking up in group is that
same process.
Self-referencing.
Yep.
You know, yeah, that same process, listening to a voice, worried about me, what it can look like, blah, 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 blah. It's not center.
Not center. You know, I don't, you've noticed that too. The center just never seems to worry about what it looks like.
Yeah.
It's so confident that way.
It is so confident that way. And, one of the things in this, I don't know, this is just being, the content is, this has just been, it seems like being pointed out to me in a few different ways about the referencing me a lot. And just seeing in the work project, there was one point when I was worried about getting squished. And the thing was, you know, we're not worried about you getting squished, we're worried about the
tank falling over.
Tank getting into place. You know, you can get squished. And it was like,
we all do what we need to do.
And so I just saw, what I saw after that was there was this like, first me and then the tank.
Yeah.
Like
women and children first after me.
You know, what do I have to do to keep, you know, to keep myself alive or to keep, you know, and then it would be one thing if it was just there, but it's not. It's everywhere. Mm-hmm. And
it's not, that's the place we need to be clear about, right? That system is not worried about you.
Uh-huh.
It's only worried about itself.
Uh-huh, yeah.
So, I mean, this is subtle stuff, but we can go there.
Yeah.
It's not, it doesn't care if you die. It would be fine if you were severely maimed, right? It's getting the attention on, oh my God, what about me? Yeah. And then, look at you, you are so egocentric. All you care about is you. That's what's really going on, having nothing to do with you or your safety or well-being.
Yeah.
I was just, you know, email class, doing that today, that it's such a shame that we don't have completely different language to talk about this. Mm-hmm. Because trying to see the difference in those two processes and trying to see which is you and which is not is really tricky when everything is I and you. But that process that's going on where it says, it's concerned, I'm concerned about me staying alive. I'm concerned about how I look. I'm concerned about what people think about me, how I sound. That's not the authentic human incarnation.
Yeah. I mean, it's not. It's obviously not.
It's obviously not.
And I was just thinking that, you know, I don't know if this is jumping topics, but it's like in group I realized, you know, there's certain things that you can talk about that are like so boring.
Like ourselves,
you know, because it's all coming back to me. And then that other place of getting over myself and just, you know, speaking from center, is it can actually be a contribution to everyone.
Yes.
And I don't know how I got there from the tanks, but yeah.
Well, speaking from authenticity and revealing ego is always a contribution.
Yeah.
But what we tend to do is try to protect ego while remaining inauthentic and being beaten for it.
Yeah. Wow. boy, I know that place, you know, and so I can just see that getting over it, getting over me.
Well, it's getting over that getting voice.
The voice.
That's the only clue that we have.
Yeah.
Otherwise, you know, we get in there and it's just,
yeah.
I don't know. And it's,
Did I do that, or did ego do that?
Yeah,
exactly.
Well, yeah, but if we don't have that conversation, then it actually technically doesn't matter. It really doesn't matter. So, for instance, you say something in group, and it's really stupid. But if there's nobody there to care, nobody's going to care.
Yeah.
And it's only ego that's going to be there to care.
Yeah.
So don't have that conversation.
Yeah.
And then you'll never know it was stupid.
Yeah.
And if somebody else says it's stupid, you know that they have a problem. They're projecting. But I don't know another way around it.
Yeah.
Right? As long as that conversation is going on, as long as we're referencing that for information about anything, we're just doomed.
God. And it just, oh boy. Is this, the pull is so strong to believe this is so hard in it. And no, it's not.
It's not at all.
Really not.
It's the most relaxing thing in the world.
Yeah. All right.
But the conversation tells you that it's hard.
Yeah, exactly. Mm-hmm. Exactly.
Because that's how it holds on.
Yeah.
I know I'm a broken record, but that's getting it, that it will say anything. It doesn't believe anything, it doesn't think anything, it doesn't feel anything, doesn't care about anything, nothing. It is the media.
Yeah.
Whatever anybody will watch or listen to, it will say and do. Period. Is it true? Who cares? They'll watch. Okay?
All right.
Penny?
I have these fragments sort of coming together. So so I had this great experience. Actually, 1 month ago I talked about this, that the night before coming to group I had gone to a Tazay service at the local church.
Uh-huh.
And it was an interesting experience, and I went last night, and it's a wonderful experience, and I had the experience of getting it, that conditioning was over here having this experience, and I was here having this experience. And it just was clearer than it usually is.
And it so desperately wanted you to have its experience.
Yes, but I think in the past, that generally there's been a kind of resisting of it, or getting caught up in noticing it.
Mm-hmm.
And it was more like, oh, it's over here doing this, but I'm here doing this. Mm-hmm. So that was really neat to see. So that's one fragment. And then another, and what you were just saying about just coming, that authenticness showing up. So I'm involved in a couple of things post-election that doesn't really want to be involved in, but feel a real authentic pull to get engaged, and all that stuff about how will I look or what will people think is right there. Mm-hmm. And I'm not as disengaged. Do you know what I mean? It's much more a feeling of getting caught up in it.
Mm-hmm.
But what I was seeing and what we've been talking about is it's coming back to the tanks. Because what I was seeing about the tanks is what the tanks are saying is, they're a huge statement of trust. Do you know? Like, there is enough. Mm-hmm. And we can live from abundance. Mm-hmm. It doesn't matter if there's a drought. Mm-hmm. And so I find it really emotionally very moving that they're there. And it's that same thing, it's that trusting in that. It's the same thing as trusting authenticity. It's like trusting the authenticity of life.
Yes.
There and here.
Yes.
And it's taking me back to that Marianne Williamson, Nelson Mandela.
Correct.
What scares us is stepping into that absolute brightness.
Yes.
And that's just what's coming together right now.
Yes. Yes. Yeah. And it's what scares ego, mm-hmm. which is back to that, the importance of sensing the difference between those two. So as you said in the service last night, there's that thing that's there beside you, and we're so trained. Well, first of all, we're trained for it to be right here,
right.
Not beside us.
Right.
And it is what we're referencing.
Yep.
Right. And then trying. Oh well. You know, you shouldn't feel that way, and it, you know, they're really nice people, and whatever it's doing with its judgmental little self about. But you can see it, it's now, there's enough distance that it's over there beside you, mm-hmm. And you realize there's a temptation to look at it, to check in with it, to mm-hmm. see what it's saying and doing, but you don't need to.
Yeah.
It can just be over there.
Yeah.
And then after a while you realize, well, actually, I don't have to look. I don't know if it's over there or not.
Right.
It could be gone.
Right.
And I'm not going to check on it because I don't care.
Yeah.
Yeah. And it is coming back to that place that, well, it's funny that, you know, what's animating us is animating those tanks, is mm-hmm. animating the drought, is animating. And there isn't any separation. So whatever, however it is that we are unfolding, and you know, again, it's so tricky with language because everything is so subject-object.
Yeah.
It's just in our, you know, in our way of seeing things because we're so conditioned. Which is, by the way, something that happened to us, right? When we're little kids, we didn't know we were separate.
Right.
And then there's just this constant reinforcement of mm-hmm. That you're separate. We're separate from everything. We're separate from one another, but we're separate from life. So the drought, the tanks, the weather, the other people, you know, they're all these distinct, discrete things. And that moving into that sense of, no, it's all one.
Mm-hmm.
And there's really nothing to be done about any of it.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's going to animate us for as long as it does. It's going to animate all of this for as long as it does. And then when it doesn't, it doesn't. And there's really nothing to be done about it.
Yeah, and what I was seeing in the tank is like, let's live fully here.
Yes.
Let's just live fully here. This is the way it is. Let's live fully here. And it feels like that's the call of authenticity too. What I'm feeling right now is just live fully here and trust.
Yes. Yes. Well, and trust that we can live fully here.
Yes.
Because we could all be dead tomorrow.
Yep.
But that's no reason not to live. In fact, that's a very good reason to live fully today.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
But that's the trap of that altar. Ego. I guess it's just ego, isn't it? There's nothing alter about it. That's the pull towards separation at every turn. And there's that right behind life having an opinion about everything.
Right.
And what it means and what you should do. And most of all, how you should keep it safe. Because mm-hmm. that's what it all comes down to. Mm-hmm. Not keep you safe. How are you going to devote your life keeping it safe.
Right.
Thank you.
Yeah. Okay, so far, best vacation ever.
Uh-huh.
Really
good,
fun,
good.
Really great. Mm-hmm. Having a great time. And I agree with previous comments of I'm walking down the hill toward my hermitage, and mm-hmm. I always have to look back for large Marge. Mm-hmm. It doesn't ever catch my eye as I'm going down the path as like, oh, there's something, even though it wasn't there when I got there, got here. But even having it be put
she
in
just
place,
belongs.
It's just, and it's green, and it, I love even that it says for water only.
Right.
I don't know. It's just like, you know, just that's it. That's all I'm here for, single purpose. You know? Yes. So what comes up for me with hearing the comments about doing the group project, which was, I just iterate a blast. Was the place where the, I'm going to use the words, the human gets let off the hook for having to know, for having to have it all decided, for having to figure it out, for having to, and what I saw in that, try it, if it works, great, see what happens, stop, see what comes in, go, is like how to live, I mean, I could say every moment of my life, but how to live, like, let's put it this way, every day.
You forget every moment, that's a bit much. But
every moment right now.
Every day.
But Every day gets to be its own day. Mm-hmm. And I think ego, for me, puts a lot of pressure on, I've got to know what things will look like 6 months from now, or a year from now, or a decade from now, or what, you know, however long it thinks it's going to be alive, or it's going to be around. And so when I get to go to that place of, gee, I don't know, let's just try it. You know, so I don't remember if it was this morning or yesterday morning. I think it was this morning. I'm prepping green beans in the kitchen, and I'm given the guidance to, you know, snap the ends off. And so I said, well, is there a preference, you know, here at the monastery, is that to snap the, or can they be cut off? It's like, oh, there's no preference. And I'm like, great. So I start cutting, and I start realizing, well, that's my preference. So I'm like, I'm going to snap some.
It's and so I'm satisfying.
But it was fun to have that place of freedom, mm-hmm. where it could just be play as much as, you know, as much as getting it done. I mean, I guess my curiosity is, sometimes do you just, sometimes do you get to a place of getting it done versus, nope, I'm just gonna stay with the or just experiment, or...
Well, see, to me, where I thought you were going with this, where I wanted you to go with this, is having an opportunity, which we rarely have, actually, I think, as adults, to have our own direct experience.
Right.
So there you are. I mean, you would just assume that people cut the ends off green beans, because that's what you do. And then you find out that people snap the ends off of them. Well, I'm going to go with my preference, because that's what I do. And then, because you're in an environment that encourages this sort of thing,
right.
it occurs to you to wonder why I have to have that preference, and what is this snapping like? And then you get to do that, and you get to see. And of course, it's so much bigger than green beans, right? I mean, that...
Absolutely.
Yeah, that process is huge. And it does relate to the not knowing and finding out rather than assuming. Because if you know where you're going to be in 6 months, what does that do to a process of being present enough to get information, to realize that there's something going on with you, and then that there's another possibility, and you get to explore that possibility and compare those two and have an experience of both. If you know where you're going in 6 months, that's just over.
Well, yes. Because what I'm seeing is that sense of freedom that comes with not knowing where I'm going to be in 6 months.
Yes.
And where that can be very scary to ego, for the human.
Well, once again, it's not scary to ego.
Ego wants to tell me it's scary.
Oh, yes, because you'll listen to that.
Right.
Because you'll pay attention to it, because you'll noodle around with, okay, then what does that mean?
I see what you're saying.
But is it scared? Oh, God, no.
But it knows I will buy that story.
That's right. What it's scared of is that you're going to ignore it.
Right.
And, of course, getting to that place of, I don't know, is a fast trip to ignoring ego. Because its whole conversation is what's going on now compared to, and what's going to happen in the future, and look what in the past, but if you don't know, there's really not a lot of conversation to have about that. Well, I don't know. Well, what are you going to do? I don't know.
Exactly.
Well, what's going to happen? Well, I don't know. And it has the merit of being true.
Right.
Right, because how many times have we had a 5-year plan only to find out that it didn't last for 5 minutes, and then we're really upset and disappointed and feel ripped off and blaming people because it didn't go the way it was supposed to go. Well, it never was supposed to go that way.
Yeah. I just find it, going back to what you were saying about how relaxing it is and how... And that's the only words that keep kind of just letting the human off the hook of being beaten or whipped or, prodded constantly to know it, to figure it out, to do something about it, and all of that.
So yeah.
It's just...
And it's all, I mean, when you step back and look at it like that, you can see how bogus it is.
Right.
We can't figure out anything, mostly because there's nothing to figure out. It hasn't happened yet. We can't even figure it out after it's happened, let alone before it happens, right?
Well, yeah.
I mean, we have probabilities, right? But God knows. Talk about a great way to be disappointed a lot. But if we know that we don't know, then it's a really exciting adventure.
Yeah.
Because we're really living in, what's going to happen next?
Yeah.
Well, gosh, what's going to happen next?
Yeah. Yeah. Which is why coming here is such a great exercise in that. Because
we
try
really
to second
know.
Guess it, and it's like, nope.
Yeah.
Not doing that.
And you know, the thing about that I don't know, I love about it, is that when we kind of step back and watch life unfold, so this tank business started out there in a meeting that we had in the garden, right? That meeting happened. Nobody thought, oh, let's get together and have a meeting about water. Let's get in the garden and have a meeting about water. You know, I think we did think that we would have a meeting about water, but it had nothing to do with tanks. And so it just unfolds. So those tanks would not be on this property if we weren't going to be able to put them in place. Mm. They just wouldn't. So as you know, when we're going with life, then we can't be disappointed, because life is always going where life is going, and we get to go with it.
Mm.
But if we want something other than where life is going, it's painful. Now, I will tell you that we have, I call him Papa Grande. Now, maybe other people don't like that name, but I like Papa Grande. He's the other fellow up in there, the giant guy up in the parking lot. Well, he was supposed to be out behind the fence here.
Mm.
Yeah? Well, there's no way, short of God picking it up and dropping it in place, right? So that's not going to happen. So now the curiosity is, where is Papa Grande going to live? Now, all will be revealed at some point, but right now we don't know.
Mm. And just being able, and I mean, I've talked about this a lot at some retreats, is just wait for it, just to wait for it. And man, that's been a...
But if you like excitement... Right? Now, if you don't like anxiety, it's not fun. But if you do like excitement, then the anticipation is just, glorious because you know it's going to work.
Well, that's the recontextualization is taking anxiety as excitement rather than as anxiety.
Yeah, and anxiety moves to excitement when we get it that I don't know.
Right.
Oh. Rob.
Okay, so I have something I don't want to talk about, but I guess I will. So I think I mentioned on Sunday, I think it was just Sunday, my nemesis, my karma, who would think something so simple could be like just boxing me in. So it's about the showers. I mean, it really focuses on the shower. So the ideal is 15 minutes. I'm told try 20 minutes. Okay, fine. I did 20 minutes today. I cleaned the shower in 20 minutes. Woo! You know, and I'm really happy for that. But this is how I experienced it. There's no time to clean anything. Just run that scrub brush over every single tile as fast as you can. There's no time to get in the grout. Just go, 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 go. And then I made the 20 minutes. That's, you know, like, obviously, I don't think that's what I'm supposed to be going for. I'm so... I don't know. I keep trying to, like, you know, I guess I'm going in the conditioned mind, but, like, I keep trying to think, well, it can't be that bad. There must be something you can get out of this, you know? And I'm like, well, it doesn't seem like I'm hardly cleaning it. It's not physically pleasant. It's hard work to clean a shower and the ceiling and everything. Why am I here? Why am I doing this? I'm like, well, okay, you're doing this because you're asked to do it. Well, there's something in that. I'm so stuck, and I'm suffering so much, and I just need guidance.
Let me ask you this. Have you ever experienced a process like this anywhere else in your life, or did this just turn up with showers?
Obviously, yeah. It showed up other places, yeah.
Okay. And so what do you see in that when you look at it in compared to, you know, here it is showers, but it's been in other places in your life. What do you think?
In other places of my life, when I get in a situation like this, I mean, if I reframe it, usually it works. It takes time. I reframe it. I see that there's an opening, you know, and that, like, it works. I don't always like the result, but I know how to, like, make it work. Mm-hmm. I don't see any openings in this. Because it's so simple. Maybe because it's just so simple. I think normally... And, you know, and so I'm seeing more and more, well, you're going to condition mind, but I creatively think of a way, you know, a way to satisfy myself. This is so simple and so straightforward, I'm not seeing it.
Uh-huh. And so what is satisfying yourself? What are the components of that?
Okay, well, I can give an example from the kitchen. And... when I was taught to chop lettuce, I was taught cut it long ways. No, you cut it short. You cut it the short way, and then you cut it the long way. And you use a really big board, okay? So I tried that. I did that a couple times. And my experience was, with a big board is fine, but somebody has to clean it, and it's really a pain to clean, and I probably don't need it. And my other experience was, by cutting it long ways first, it's not as messy. It might be because my skill isn't so great, but it just runs smoother for me and cleaner. And then I actually asked about that. And I was told, well, post a note about it. And it was at the, you know, so Scott taught me, but he wasn't there at the time. And I never posted a note about it. One day I just started doing it that way.
You devil.
I feel like a devil sometimes about it, you know, but it seems like that just seemed natural to me. And yes, this is exactly where I get so caught, so many things, yes.
And so let me ask you this, why do you care?
I want to do it the right way, you know, I want to do it the right way, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, so, desperate to find out what is the right way. Will someone please tell me what the right way is?
Well, they told you that about the lettuce, Rob, and you just blew it off. So, yeah. Okay, so there is a standard, and the overarching standard is there is a right way to do things,
yes.
And you're going to be okay.
As long as I do it the right way.
As long as you know what that is, and you can do it that way. So there's a right way. There are several components here, right? So there's a right way, and you need to be able to do it the right way.
Yeah.
Or you need to find an alternative that will enable you to seem like you did it the right way.
Yes. Yes. But of course, then the conditioning is, I'm not trying to put something over on someone, you know? I'm not trying to do that.
Right.
I want to do the task, and then I'm just completely caught.
Mm-hmm. So you want to do it the right way. That's the thing. And if you can't do it the right way, then it you suffer.
Yeah.
And do we know why?
I think the obvious answer for me is because I was severely punished when I didn't do things the right way. Mm-hmm. And I just learned, and it's true, I just habitually, of course I don't want to talk about this, we're talking about the going over the rules I was going with Jen. I literally started crying about it because I can't figure out the right way to do things around here. And that is super upsetting to me. Mm-hmm. Super. Like, it can't be that there's no right way. You know, like, it's... Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And you know, at least intellectually, that the reason you're here is to face that.
Yes, that's why I brought it up.
Good, good. Because that's the bottom line, right? So the interesting part of this is, and I would say we could all fit our karma in. Somebody stop me if I. We can all put our karma in this. But so here you are. You've been severely traumatized by not doing things the right way. It's really important that somebody tell you what the right way is so that you can do it the right way, so that you're not going to get in trouble again, go through that kind of trauma again. But somebody comes along and says, this is the right way to do it. And still, yes, that karma is just as in place.
Yeah.
So if we go back to an earlier conversation, what we get to see in this is that it has nothing to do with you. You are still the recipient of the trauma and the beatings. It's just that there's a different person delivering it now than when you were small. So when you were small, there was an external person or people who delivered the trauma and the punishment. Now that deliverer lives inside your head.
Yes.
Because even if somebody says, Rob, this is the way we want you to do it.
Right. Even then I'm resistant.
That's right.
Yes.
That's right. I don't think you are. But that system is. Because as soon as you get to the point of saying, what do you want me to do? And somebody says, do this. You go, okay. That system is out of business.
And when I do that, of course I come up with a different idea sooner or later. Mm-hmm. And what I've been trying to do is just like let it go. But sometimes I wonder, is it like, so is that just all conditioning, or is it just like, you know, it dawns on something? Like sometimes I've dawned and like, well, why, I don't understand why it's being done this way. Oh well, okay, I'll do it that way, even though I think of maybe a different way to do it. But I'm never even sure if like, is that just a conditioning process?
Yes. Yes, it is. And at a certain point, as you continue to practice, you'll get more and more into that place that we were talking about, where it just drops in. Something, a possibility drops in. And you will realize that it just dropped in. It's different. It feels very different from conditioning having a better idea, which is why we're so buggy about better ideas, right? You're there and you realize, oh, and it's one of those, oh. And at that point, hopefully you would communicate it to somebody because they will appreciate it, because it's not coming from that egocentric, better idea, I know better than you do. That, when, this is just a little something to know. When somebody has a better idea, it's always rejected, even if it is a better idea. Because we cannot, we just can't be allowed to continue to live in that system for any longer than is absolutely required. And so, as we're learning the difference between those two places, when it drops in, you know, we could people are going to hear that. Mm-hmm. Right? Because it takes all of us to have the intelligence dropping in to be able to have the best access. So, to me, the thing to do now is to turn the attention to what that system is doing. So when it starts torturing you over this, it's kind of Anna and the tomato soup. I don't know if it was really the tomato soup, but it's the, you know, what? what is your problem with this shower? Not what is your problem, but what is its problem? Which is not a question you're supposed to ask. Because you are meant to be the recipient of the torture. Not somebody who asks questions about the torture that's being delivered. And that's the relationship that's shifting.
Say that again?
The what's shifting, so there you were, a little kid. Mm-hmm. All this, you know, all this stuff that adults have in a situation like that is exactly what ego is doing to us all the time. It that had nothing to do with you. You know, I don't know if you're disidentified enough to realize that, but whoever those people were, they had what going, whatever they had going. You know, it wasn't personal.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Sure.
And so, so you then, you, we all, but you, grow up being that person who was the recipient of that and trying to adjust and accommodate and that sort of thing in order to survive. And what we do in awareness practice then is step back from that. So that now the intelligence, the awareness, is able to watch that person in that situation and begin to alter the person's situation, right? Because you, from a mentoring, disidentified place, will be able to help him see that it wasn't personal, it didn't have anything to do with, you don't have to be that way, you don't have to be afraid, people aren't going to do that to you now, You're safe. It's all right.
Yeah, I get a lot. I mean, I do get a lot of sense of that. You know, I mean, or I wouldn't even bring it up, obviously, but but like with the shower, like I feel stupid to say this. I just don't want to do it. You know.
Yes. Well, and what's so perfect about that is that it is stupid. Right? if it were something meaningful, it would actually be harder.
Right.
But to see the whole thing played out in this really, whatever, arena, gives us the ability to disidentify from it enough to really see through it and get past it. So, you know, one of the things that's possible. How often do you have to clean the shower?
I don't know when they tell me to. I think maybe once a week.
Once a week.
But I'm not sure, actually. I don't know the schedule.
Okay. So, one of the things that you might do is figure that how dirty can it get in a week, really?
Right.
So then you do part of it really well for 5 minutes. And then the rest of it. And then the next week you do another part of it.
Well, I thought about doing that, and then I thought, well, then that's not what the instructions say to do. And I was like, you know, I did think about doing that. I thought that would be sort of cool, right? If
so, then you could write a little note that says, "Would anybody care if I cleaned this section of it really well in 1 week for 1 week, and then the next week another section?" And if the person says yes, we would have a real problem with that. I want you to tell me, okay?
Okay. It's great that I'm getting this, because it's totally so simple, so
well, it's helpful. I mean, you've been working all your life to get to the point of being able to face this and get through it. Again, it's great that it's happening with a shower.
And right, not and not something really big.
Yeah.
Right. But yes, but the pattern's there.
Yeah.
Clearly. Yeah. Yeah. Okay. Thank you.
Thank you.
I just want to say a very quick thing about the tanks. That teaching about how life moves and we can move with it or we can be stuck in, I know, is emblazoned on the tanks. Above the spouts, it says, flexible connection required. It's so beautiful. And every time I see it, I feel that relaxation.
Uh-huh. You feel yourself becoming a little more flexible.
Just a little bit more flexible, flexibly connected to life, you know?
Mm-hmm. There's a lot of wisdom in that.
Oh, that truly is.
So glad she's with us. All right. Yeah. Oh. Was somebody over here? Okay. Rebecca, was it you? It must have been. You're the only person over on this side who hasn't spoken.
I was just going to look a little bit more at getting out of the conversation. And I've been looking at that quite a bit. That in fact, for the whole year, the whole 2016, I just had this gung-ho attitude of this is the year. Getting out of the conversation. And so the year's almost up, and I sense that I'm just as much in the conversation as I was in January.
Of course, only the conversation would tell you that, so well, we really have no idea.
Thank you, but that's occurred to me too. It's like who's looking and who's referencing and all
yeah,
of that.
Yeah, who's invested.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. Because I have had some times on the recorder where I was like, you know, I haven't been in that conversation in ages. And that conversation, that holds nothing for me. You know, so I've kind of seen some things that have fallen away. And I am looking at that whole process of wanting to get out of the conversation. In light of that saying about you had to give it everything you got, knowing that the very I never know how that ends, but something like knowing that the very act of doing that is what prevents it from happening. Mm-hmm. And so I sort of appreciate that gung-ho, I want to do this kind of person, me, that's been that way. And yet, I was walking around the property and it just dropped in, you know, it's kind of like, I think it's the first step of 12-step programs to admit you're powerless over something, and it just dropped in, I don't know how I'm ever going to get out of the conversation, you know, because it just feels so fleeting, crazy.
And so, periodically, somebody will say to me, well, you know, if we really should let go of all attachments, I feel like I'm attached to meditation, so should I let that go? And what I encourage them to do is let go of all other attachments. When you've let go of all other attachments, right before you slip out, let go of that one. That was meaningful for you, wasn't it?
I'm not seeing the connection.
I didn't ask you to see a connection.
Oh, okay.
Did I say so? See the connection here. You with? Yeah. I mean, did you follow that story?
Yes. Uh-huh.
You followed that story.
Let go of the attachment. Okay.
Okay. I mean, what just happened is really significant. Yeah. Do you get the significance of it?
Yes.
Yeah. There wasn't taking that in.
Yes.
And stopping and waiting.
Yeah.
For there was just a leap to, I don't get the connection.
Yeah.
Okay? All right. So I'll now make the connection for you. Okay? So, which, if you had stopped and waited, I would have done. I didn't, I'm just doing this because you didn't stop and wait, okay? Just to be clear about that. So, the one conversation that you could be in is about your devotion to ending the conversation. And you could talk about that around the clock, inside your head. You with me? So there you are, because there's going to be a conversation, right? So have that as your conversation about how much you want to end the conversation, and that's what you're doing all the time, is working on ending the conversation. You make recordings about it, and it's really important to you, and maybe by the end of 2016, but if it takes 2017, you're open to that, because what you really want to do with your life is end that conversation, okay? When you get down to that's the only conversation in your head, can you see it?
It feels like a version of I choose unconditional love all the time.
All the time.
It's my version.
Yeah.
Like, that's what I
and you could combine them.
Yeah.
I'm really working on letting go of that conversation in conditioned mind, because what I choose is unconditional love. And so I'm letting go of that conversation so that I can always choose unconditional love. Because if that conversation is there, then I won't really be able to focus on the unconditional love. And I want to be able to focus on unconditional love. So my ambition is to let go of that conversation in conditioned mind. Now, if you talk a little slower than that, it will actually leave room for insight to come in. Because otherwise, getting to that place of, you know, I have this ambition, and then it's not really working, and I don't know if I can, and so maybe I should just give up, and